Today's March 3, 2019. We're going to do lesson number 438 called Preparation for a Bridge. So last week we gently approached some extension, right, of the spine, and it was a nice feel-good lesson. We were working on the side, you were holding your leg, right, and we're going to continue but mainly work on our backs today. And the whole reason is introducing more extension to you as we are going to approach spring and stuff like that, right? Because if we've been skiing and stuff like that and driving in cars, and we've been very bent over and kind of like, remind me your name again from?
Leslie.
That, you know, this idea that we're always rounded and, so we're going to do some extension. So, as we always do, is begin lying on your back. Your legs are long, your arms are down by your side. And this beginning period of time, right, is for you to bring your awareness to yourself. And I always think that this is the most important part of the lesson. It sets the stage for the lesson, because it's through your awareness that change can occur. So the beginning part is to observe how you're lying there on the floor. Noticing, I like to start up at the shoulder blades and noticing how each shoulder blade is resting on the floor. Does one shoulder blade feel higher, lower? Does one shoulder blade feel larger, more pointy, smoother? So in your awareness, you learn to become very descriptive of what you experience, what you feel, what you sense. Use a lot of adjectives. And then from your shoulder blades, we drop down to your pelvis. And notice how each side of your pelvis is feeling today. Again, every day is different. So how do you sense and feel your pelvis today? And then we've been putting four dots to these four locations. So a dot with each side of your pelvis, right in the center of your buttocks, a dot behind each shoulder blade. And then you connect these four dots, which gives you a rectangle. And inside this rectangle is your trunk. And this is where your spine is housed and your pelvis. And this is where the extension or lengthening is going to come from. Now, just to add for Leslie, who we had this meeting, it was really nice on Monday, and learn some new things. On the front side, right, is where the hip joints are, where that hinging is, that bending. And you guys know where the hip joints are, the bending. And now bring your attention awareness to your front side, as you just did with your hips, but to your breath and your breathing. So without changing anything, you're again just observing. What is your breath like now? Without any judgment, just how do you inhale? How do you exhale? Get a sense of the length of your inhalation, the length of your exhalation. And where is the majority of your breath? In your chest, in your belly. And we'll come back to this. So why this is so important is as we acquire length and extension in our bodies, it frees our breath up more. So we'll just compare it to the end and just see how your breath has changed. And then go ahead and roll your head a little bit to the right and left. Again, go slow enough to observe if there's any tension or tightness. What is the feeling like today? Excellent. Okay, and we're going to start with bending just your right leg. So we've done this many, many times, but it's really important in here each time we come back to a position that you've done before is that you stay with an awareness as if you've not done it before. So you really pay attention. So your right foot is standing, your right heel is lined up behind your right buttocks. And what you're going to do is you're going to bring weight into this right foot. So you think of pushing the right foot into the floor. And there's three points of contact, the big toe, the pinky toe, and the heel. And you want to keep those three parts in contact with the floor. Now this push creates a roll with your pelvis, but not with your leg or knee. And this is what is so important about this movement, right? So if you never come back to a class again, but you learn anything from me, this movement. So you learn to turn your pelvis around your hip joint. Roll. There you go. So think rolling. There you go. You don't really have to lift. So like we learned, here's your hinge. Nope, that's lifting. Just think roll. Roll. Yeah, it's easier than you think.
I'm overthinking it.
Yes. Just think, oh, I'm going to roll. So this side comes down. Ah, see?
Okay.
And then you push. So your pelvis is turning around your femur.
Got it.
That hinge. Mm-hmm. So this is how you turn with the hinge, mm-hmm. right? We just did on Monday bending forward, right?
Right.
Sitting. This is how you turn instead of using your back.
Okay.
Beautiful. Now the rest of you, nice Dana. So as you do this, nice Nia. So as you do this, keeping that knee up, right? Rolling your pelvis, you start to get what we call extension. So your knee stays straight up. You don't let it come in. Why this is so important is because you're freeing up the hip joint. The hip joint is that area on the front side where your femur goes into the socket. When you don't know how to move from your hip, you will move in your back. You will strain your back. So roll and you arch and you feel this arch going all the way up towards your shoulder blade. Excellent. Nice. Okay, let's come back. Let's pause. Straighten that leg and just observe how something changed. Right? What is that something? I'm going to guess that the right leg feels longer now. Right? So why would the right leg feel longer? Hmm? Well, kind of. Think a little bit more. Think about what we learned. It's great that you're here because I'm going to take it into what we learned. Right? So we had this learning. Yes, we had this, like, you know, in a learning with all of us teachers. And this man, so it's another new method, but I swear the method came from Feldenkrais. So it's a lot he talks about, it's called decompression, right? So when you're hinging correctly at the joints, right, like you decompress. So you just created space in your hip joint. When you're sitting, right, when we're loading, standing, right, loading, inside the hip joint, there's compression. So we just decompressed, right? So when you decompress anything, that's why we sleep at night, is to decompress, from standing all day. So if you measure yourself first thing in the morning, you've decompressed, you're taller. Right? Okay. So you created space in your hip joint. So let's try the same thing on the left side. Bring your left foot up to standing. Push your left foot into the floor. Remember, the left knee stays pointing towards the ceiling. Why? Why is that so important? That's where you get the decompression and the space. Because you're rolling the pelvis around the femur. And that is what creates space. You create an opening. And then that opening creates extension up your back, your spine. And the really nice thing about this movement is it's not a lot of work. It shouldn't require work. Roll. Think roll. You're going to roll in bed. That's lifting. Rolling. So to roll, this side has to come into the floor. That is rolling. Isn't that easier? Right? Why do we make things so hard? Now, just think of pushing the foot to roll. Keep this foot. No, you don't have to lift. Just think of foot. Nope, you're thinking here. This is your foot. Push your foot. Roll. No, and don't let this tilt in. Okay? Let me hold the leg and you roll the pelvis. Keep going. You just started to get it. Keep going. More. More. All the way over. More. 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 You can go more. Oh my gosh, isn't that shocking? Try it again. Roll. Roll. Just think roll. Don't hold your breath. There! It's coming.
Yeah, that's good.
Roll. Now ask yourself, which side was easier? Is it the left side or the right? Beautiful. Okay, let's come back. Let's lengthen that leg and see how we're feeling. Okay, so we're going to go back to the right side. So you bring your right leg to stand, left leg is long, and your right arm is down by your side, and you're going to turn your right arm so that the palm is up. So that means the back of the hand is on the floor, okay? And now you're going to go back to this same movement. So this movement is going to become so easy, so natural through this lesson. So you're going to push the right foot, keep the right knee, and you're going to start to slide that right hand in the direction, excuse me, of your right foot, your right heel. So now we're going to add a component in, right? What do you need to do with your ribs now to start sliding the right hand down? And the ribs behave differently on the right side than the left, right? So the ribs on the right side come together, compress, and the ribs on the left side expand, right? So each time, okay, roll, 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 roll. You can roll more. I want your belly button all the way facing the wall. Oh, what just happened there?
I rolled.
Yes, yeah. You can go that much. Yeah.
I can go as far as I want to go?
Sure you can. There. And then go back. Right? So your ribs on the right side come together. Nice, Dana. Now what about your head? What is your head doing? Is the back of your head following your right shoulder blade? And then is your chin tilting away from your chest? So this leg is standing there. Now you do that first movement, roll your pelvis. Nope, that's sliding your hand. Roll your pelvis, yeah, roll, don't lift. Now you can slide the hand down towards the heel, yeah. Do those together.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Yes. So your head follows along, right? The back of the head goes with the right shoulder. Your chin moves away from your chest, and as some of you are doing beautifully, is this as if you're going to look towards the back of the room, right? And what I really like is that you're just figuring out how to get there. Like, so it's a very natural movement. It's not forced. So just feel, except for Leslie, let your chin go. You got some holding here. Yeah, why does that chin stay so close to your throat? Beautiful. Try it a couple more times, right? So how can you soften the movement? How can you find more ease? So once you discover the movement, right, then the next level is to refine it, soften it. Right, the movement should not be hard. There should be ease. Excellent. Come back. Corinne, are you okay? Rest. Let's lengthen and rest. Check in and see how the right side is again compared to the left. So let it go. Rest. Breathe. So what is your experience of yourself now?
Side.
Good. Flatter. Longer, flatter, right? And everyone is going to have a bit of a different experience. Ah, Corinne, what'd you just do?
Took a deep
breath. That's right. What happened with your breathing? Oh, and Leslie, she's yawning. Now, that's not a bad thing, you guys. That's a good thing. Actually, that's the best thing that you can do. So I think I've said this before, but when you go into yawning, it means at the highest level, something has really changed in your nervous system. That's good. Okay, let's go to the left side. So you know what you're gonna do. The back of the left hand is on the floor. We're going to introduce, right, that hand sliding down. And, you know, I'm giving you a little bit more room today to move yourself along, right? So you know what to do. And so in knowing what to do, observe about yourself how you approach that. Are you in a rush to get to the end place, right? I mean, this is so common. Like as if the end, there's something there. I'm trying to teach Stella Bella this. Right, when we go for a walk, like she's in some urgency to drag me down the street. My little 20-pound dog is, I'm like, what's the rush? Why does she have to pull? I'm working on that, like getting rid of the pull, right? But what's our hurry? Right, so it's in the process that the change in learning happens. So what's really important as we're doing a movement and we progress is the observation of what is necessary to progress. So the real bonus is in the progression. There is really no end point. If you think about it, there's really not an end point, right? We just transition in life. We transition from one task to another, one activity, one thought process. I mean, an end is like death. So as long as we're still living. So how do you approach this side? And then are there places, again, it's in your awareness. With this side, it has to be different because it's the left side for you. And do you hold somewhere differently? What about your jaw? Is there any holding in your jaw? Are you holding in your breath, in your neck? So it's in your observation and in your process that things improve, not because of me. that's it. And then maybe you can think again. Ah, there's something there. We're going to get more to your upper back.
Sorry, it's underneath my left shoulder blade.
Is that what
it is?
Yeah. There you go. One more time and then come back and we'll rest again. Good. Let's rest. See how things are, what's different, more yawning. This is good. You must have needed to release a lot of things. Okay, so we're gonna add in, we're just gonna keep building on this, still working with the same movement of the leg and hip, but add some variations with your upper back to get it more involved. So please bend your right knee again, bring your right leg to stand. And this time, you're going to bring the left arm up, keeping the right arm down. So your left arm is up by your head, the back of the hand, and then the right hand is the back of the hand. So both hands have the back of the hands on the ground, right? So they're kind of opposing each other. It's like as if you created like a diagonal line, right, running through you. Okay, so we always start with the pushing of the foot, rolling of the pelvis, right? And eventually at this point, some of you are starting to feel, because you're doing a beautiful job, that your right knee starts to display out. So you never want the right knee to go in. So if you have those 3 points making contact, it almost feels as your pelvis rolls to the left, as if the right knee is flaring out to the right.
This is a bad hip.
It was a bad hip. Past tense. It won't be after this. That's it. And then your two arms are in a way like moving away from each other. You kind of feel that, like there's this length, right? The right still goes down, but the left kind of goes up. And what do you do with your head? So first, just observe the direction that your head wants to go, right? For most of us, it rolls to the left. And maybe you take it up a notch, so you look towards the left hand. So you open your throat, your chin, you let the back of your head move back. So you get, this is the upper part of your back and neck, right, that we get into extension. So it's not just the lower back, and then it goes in between those shoulder blades, our challenging area. So what's happening on the front side? See, there's so much to pay attention to. It's crazy making, right? The front side, right, is like a bow. The front side of you is opening. The back side, in a way, is closing. And you're breathing, but you're opening on the front side. Now, as you continue to do this, I'd like you to introduce alternating your head. So one time when you push with the right foot, your head rolls to the left as you're doing, and then the next time it's gonna roll to the right as if to look behind the right shoulder blade. So once to the right, once to the left, right? So one of the things in Feldenkrais is there is no right way. Feldenkrais is about more options, more freedom, right? When would you look over the right shoulder? What if you're driving and you need to look over the right shoulder behind you, right? You've got a blind spot. Right, there is no like, oh, as I'm pushing the right foot into the floor, everything goes to the left. There's no rules like that. So once to the right, once to the left, and then you ask yourself, is there a direction that feels more familiar? Or at this point, as you continue to alternate them, it feels pretty even, like they both feel the same. Can this, yes, I'm not sure why you like that chin tucked under. But see what that does for the hip. Yeah, and the upper shoulder stuff. Take the chin away. So some of you still have your chin in your throat. So it's not so much a correction, it's just important to ask yourself why, right? Because when you take your head back, right, your head's not going anywhere. You're on the floor, so you end up pressing your head, right, into the back of the floor. But opening your throat, take your chin away. Open your upper back. Okay, do it one more time and then we'll take a break again. So come back, arms by your side, right leg long. Observe, how do you feel now? So did I share in this class, because you know I have the other class about having the cage taken down, right, for Stella Bella? Right? Were you guys here for that, right? I have high expectations of you guys now because of Stella Bella. Because so she had this round cage thing quickly, right? Because I want you to really rest here and then we'll go to the other side. That I took her out to pee and poo in every morning, right? And my HOA came and ripped it out of the ground and stuff, right? But see, this is why I love Feldenkrais, because they replaced it. They felt really bad. That's a whole nother story. But they, you know, but the point is I'm not supposed to have it out in the front anyways, because it's common yard. So being who I am, I'm like, well, it's time for Stella Bella to learn, right? Okay, you guys, day one. She was like schizo. I had her on a leash. It took like up to 30 minutes, right? So any extreme habit is limiting for a pet, for any of us, right? So I had to go out with the leash and she'd look up the street and down the street and circle 20 times one way and 20 times the other way and finally go to the bathroom. Okay, this was the last day of February that this happened. So we're March, what'd I say? We're not even a month, you guys. She can go out without a leash and go to the bathroom in less than 2 minutes now. Okay, I have high expectations of you. Because the level of progression that she has made, right? And I tapped into, when would it be okay? Because I don't want her, she can't leave the yard. She has to go right out in front, right? Right, but she has developed such a safety and feeling confident, right? Isn't that impressive? Right, you don't talk, I mean, right, there's not a conversation with your dog, right? There's how you work with them. Anyways, it was a powerful learning for me that any kind of confinement, whether it's a pet, humans, right, we can develop very strong habits that are not useful. Because she's got to be able to pee and poo anywhere, right? The cage doesn't travel with her, right? Okay, let's do the other side. So, bring the left leg to stand, left arm down by your side, palm up, right arm up on the floor, back of the palm. And you're going to push the left foot into the floor, all 3 points, keep the left knee towards the ceiling. Roll the pelvis, arch the back, take the chin away from the throat. That's it. And then maybe you're looking towards the right hand to begin with. And again, this is your process, right? So like with Stella, I had to go through a process. It's just recently that I took the leash away. First I started with the leash, right? She needed some safety, right? So you make small incremental changes so that the progression feels within your realm. So how is your progression? Where could you progress more? Where do you feel things are holding you back? Is it in your breath and breathing? Do you have any tension in your jaw? Maybe it's in your foot. Maybe it's in a shoulder blade. So you draw attention and awareness to what's holding you back, because just becoming aware of that, you can progress. Right? So when the cage got taken down from Stella, I became aware. So it was a blessing. I wasn't upset about it because it was a blessing for me. I became aware, oh my God, this is a strong, I've created a real dependence for her. This is not healthy. Where do you find those things in yourself that you can let go? Roll your head once to the right, roll your head once to the left. Again, looking and finding in your progression the ease, a quality of ease, of softness, of fluidity. So just like Stella Bella, that you feel in a certain way, and this might sound a little insane, but you feel safe. When you feel safe, you move with ease and elegance. When there's an issue that is you feel needs protected, oh my God, it's been hurt, I gotta watch what I'm doing, the whole system has tension. System being you. Right? So our greatest sense of ease and moving freely is when we feel safe within ourselves. Nice. Come back. Rest. Lengthen the left leg. Bring the right arm down and just see how things are feeling. So legs long. That's it, Leslie. You're improving just like Stella Bella. Okay, so now we're going to add in even more with your head and upper back. And you'll see why we did the previous movements. Again, it's about safety, to make you feel safe, feel confident, to move along, to progress. And we've done this movement before, many of you have, but we haven't done it for a while. So with your arms down by your side, your legs long and slightly in a V, so let your legs be a little bit spread apart, relaxed, right? You're going to take the back of your head back. So what does that mean? So you're actually pressing the back of your head into the floor, and you're moving your chin away from your chest, and your upper back is gonna lift, and your shoulder blades are just gonna hang. And if you can, even your mid-back, everything lifts, so you're like creating a bridge. I always say, so like a squirrel, a mouse, can go underneath. So this is one of the most potent movements you could ever do for your neck. It creates so much safety because you're pressing with your head. So your neck gets to experience, back to decompression, right? Your neck gets to decompress. Your neck doesn't work at all here. And your neck is used to working all the time from the moment you wake up, right? Because your neck holds your head, which is the same weight as a bowling ball, on top of you all day. It's a lot of work. Probably haven't thought about that. So this helps reestablish some decompression of your neck. Beautiful. And it connects the extension down your back. So now you've got full extension all the way. And your belly, right, is pushing down and out and forward because you're tilting in your pelvis. And you're hinging in your hips. And I love this movement. Just do it a couple more times. To me, it feels really powerful. It's like this powerful feeling in your whole system, like, wow, my head can hold all this, do all this, right? Because people are afraid with their head. Nice. Okay, let's pause for a moment. We're going to progress with that. Okay, so we're going to come back to that. And once you get your head, you press your head in the floor, we're going to start with your right hand, and then we're going to alternate between your right and your left, is you're going to bring your right hand up as if to rest by your head, as if you were going to do a bridge position. So your elbow will be in the air and your right hand will be by your head. But Marlene, don't bring it up till you do your head first. So once your head is pressed into the floor, your chest is lifted, just flip your arm up. And you'll see how easy the right hand comes there. So the right fingertips are pointed down towards the shoulder. Turn your wrist the other way. Wrist the other way. Other way. Yeah, flip it. Flip it.
This way?
Flip it.
Go that way.
Flip it. Yes, it does. Open those fingers. Open. There. Oh. A bridge.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Bring our foot up?
Nope. God, no. You're not ready for that. That's too big of a progression. That'll scare you. That's too big a progression, right? That's the other beautiful thing about taking your time in Feldenkrais. I mean, often when people go to a yoga class, they get really freaked out because it's too big to ask them to do a bridge position. So that's right. So once you're on your head, you do the right hand. And first feel, can you get the whole right hand? That in itself is tough because our wrists are tight. And then you alternate to the left hand and you're going to see one hand, one wrist can open easier, right? Trust me, I have a lot of tension in my wrists. I know. And you're probably thinking, why does she have so much tension, right? It's not from computers, but it's working on people. So try once the right hand, once the left hand, right? And then some of you are trying the progression of, right, what's the next step? Right? You guys need to be like Stella Bella because she's smart. The next step would be both hands, right? Could both hands come up at the same time? Right? And I love what Nia's doing. So another progression, right? Like there's multiple layers of progression here. So you could even just bring one hand up and to work with getting the hand flat, she's using the other hand to get a hold of the elbow and creating a little compression. So everybody try that. Everybody bring the right hand up, reach over with the left hand and grab the right elbow, and then kind of press onto the elbow and get that whole hand and wrist flat, right? You see how that, and then you can even pull on the elbow to move away from you towards the back of the room, which opens the shoulder blade and back even more. So that's the other thing. There's all different kinds of progression. That's it. Then try it with the left. Okay, you need a break? Okay, let's everybody take a break. Oh! Oh my goodness. Okay, so that's important. Marlene just said something, right? There's no rights and wrongs in here, ever. Isn't that nice? I love that. There's so many reasons I fell in love with this work. But one is that there's no rights and wrongs. It's constant learning. So for Marlene, try real hard to have those legs long. But it's doing a number on her lower back. And she's not doing anything wrong. It's information. So if anybody else is feeling that, like, ooh, this is a lot for my lower back, it's telling you something about you. And it's like, what do I need to learn so that this wouldn't occur, right? So it means she's really working hard down there and it is possible for her to not work so hard. I got her thinking. That's all I care about, getting you thinking, right? Right? So when when we're doing a movement and another area starts to tense or feel like it's doing a lot of work that's unnecessary, you ask why. Right? That's the beginning because it leads you to awareness to start paying attention. Okay, let's try the other arm. So some of us didn't get to the left arm. So bring the head back. Bring the left arm back. Reach over with the right hand. Play with the elbow, the left elbow, to try to make the wrist flatter. Now, if I was to help Marlene, which I'm going to do because I love Marlene, I'm going to have her draw some attention. So as she's trying to get her hands like this, because there's been a lot of tightness in her upper back, she tenses in her hip joints. So,
but if I let go of my hip joints, my head goes back.
Yeah, so let your head go back more. So you can be on the top of your head, you guys, and then let the hips go. So ask yourself, are you tensing in your hips? Can you roll? Can you roll your knees a little bit in and out? Let your hips be relaxed. Right? So when we feel guarded in the upper back, you go to the lower. So just become aware of that. And then see if you can one more time bring both hands up to the bridge position. And now you're going to understand why we didn't do the legs yet. Right? Now seriously, right? A bridge position is tremendous. To go there all at once is too much to ask. Okay. So she said, okay, and let's rest again. We'll get your legs in a minute. And she just said a great thing. She doesn't feel like her head can go first. So that is something for her to work with. Because it is possible.
See, if my head goes first, my hands are here.
Okay, so we're gonna try the legs. Okay? So let's start with your head first, and then see if you can bring the right leg to stand, straighten it, bring the left leg to stand. So alternate them, bring both legs eventually to stand. So again, another level of progression. You pause and rest when you want to. Main thing is you're on the top of your head, which is supporting your whole spine. And it should feel easy breezy. You get one leg up, then you get the other leg up. Right? Okay, now if that is feeling doable, you can then work on the next progression. I'll tell you what's really difficult to do is to bring your legs to stand and then take the head back. But you know what? Let's give it a try. Variation. So you start with your legs standing and you'll see how hard it is now to take your head back. So you want to push your belly forward, not flatten. Right? See, I make it easy for you. I take you the easy route. And why do I take you the easy route? Because it's important to learn that you can do it, and then you can make it a little harder.
Is it cheating to push with your elbows?
Kind of, yes. But you know, here's the thing, yes and no. I love your questions today. No question's dumb. So it's not really cheating, right? You ask yourself, why do you want to do that? So everything or anything that you want to do, holding your breath, anything, you ask yourself, why would I want to use my elbows? How does that serve me? Because then the deeper question is, what am I not doing that I feel I need to have that in there? So it's not a problem if you develop awareness around it. And then can you take the elbows out of the equation? You want to be able to add, subtract, right? Excellent. Now can you bring the hands up? So can you bring the hands up, arch, head back on the floor, and the legs are up? And you can approach it any way you want. Trust yourself. Trust the way that you want to approach this. Right? Yeah, so go with what, you know, it reminds me. So, Dana, this is why I tell this. Remember I told you about this Ericksonian Jeffrey Zeig, right? Why I tell stories. It's like hypnotherapy. So another story before we finish with this. But it reminds me, you know, once getting into this work, and it's all about how we develop, and then having my daughter, I loved watching her and the progression she would make with everything. So there were two times that she just did these beautiful progressions. One was, I have my grandfather's, it's a baby rocking chair. And when she discovered this, she was in her crawling phase, not standing yet. You guys, it was like the length of a lesson. It took her about 40, 45 minutes to crawl over. Then she put a hand on and removed the hand. Every progression she did, she reversed before she moved on. I videotaped the whole thing. It was just beautiful. So she put the hand on the rocking chair, brought it back. Hand, other hand. Then she reached for the back of the chair. One way, the other way. Then she came up on one knee once a hand was back. Then tried the other knee. Then she got up on the knees so that she could be on both knees, hands, and start to turn her pelvis to go to the rocking chair. She did one way. She did the other way. But she always reversed back to the beginning. Right? And she's like 12 months old. I'm not having a conversation with her about things. Right? She eventually got in the rocking chair to rock. That's Feldenkrais. It just was beautiful to record, right? And then the other time was, it's when they first came out with at the playgrounds, the like rock climbing things, right? And her dad, and I kind of got in this argument about it because I just let her go. Because I knew by letting her go, she was developing trust in her system. And she would only go as far as she could progress. And then she'd back down. And she'd try the other side and the other arm and start, you know, those rock climbing things are great because you figure out which leg to move up when, right? There's all different sequences. But I let her figure it out on her own, and then she would reverse what she was doing. And then she always got to this one place and she would never go further. And he wanted to like shove her butt up, you know? It's like, trust it. For some reason, that's her place right now. Of course, she eventually got up further, right? So, we all have this way of progressing. And then, because we're curious in the world, we want to see if we can mix it up, try it differently, just like she did. So try one more time. Just play with it just one more time. And then we'll call it good. So just whatever way you want to approach it, just spend another 30 seconds. And so for me, when I got involved with this work, right, I found all of this brilliant and fascinating. And yes, the next thing is Lynn just tried, is you go into a full back bend. If you want to try that, then you lift the pelvis up. So the feet have got to be solid and the hands have got to be solid. You really got to be solid to feel okay. So you don't have to go there, right? Because we've got weeks to do this, right? This is called, remember the title of this lesson, preparation. This was the preparation for a bridge. Right? Okay. Yeah. Okay, rest on your backs. Legs long, arms long. So remember when I said at the beginning of the class to look and notice your breath and your breathing? Observe your breath and breathing now. How big and large it is, right? How your chest is just the volume. That's one of probably a dozen things that have changed in you right now. So just take in for yourself what feels different, how great you feel, right? It's like how Stella Bella feels. She feels great that she feels secure going out without a leash and she can go to the bathroom. I freed her up Being free is fabulous, right? Roll your head a little bit to the right and left and see how that feels. Easy breezy. Tension, what tension? Best place to be is when you absolutely notice nothing, because there's no tension going on, right? Okay, so you're going to take your time, you're going to roll to your side, come to sitting and standing, see how you feel in standing from this lesson.